Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei Vav, and we are 17 lines from the top of daf Pei Hei Amid Beis, Mai Ika. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shleima for Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Miriam bas Rivka, Leah Gittel bas Devora, and Esther Krangel bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Zecharya Shimon ben Reb Yitzchak HaKoyen, and Le'ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibad Lechayim Toivin, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're in the middle of a Gemara. The Mishnah, the Sefer, on Daf Pei Dalet Amid Aleph, mentioned that Shniyos La'arayos, which is a not okay marriage, the halacha is that the wife is not entitled to a ksuba when the marriage is terminated. That's in contrast to Almona L'Koyin Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Koyin Hedit, Mamzeres V'Nesina L'Yisrael, Bas Yisrael L'Nosinu L'Mamzer, where although in those cases too, the marriage is not okay, but the Mishnah says, Yesh lahem ksuba. The Gemara brought a brisa, a long brisa, that discuss what's the difference. Meaning, my ikka, what is the difference between Shnias la'arayas, where we say that because the marriage is not kedas moish of Yisrael, ain't la ksuba, as opposed to where it's almanu l'kohen gadol, etc., where the marriage is, again, not a good marriage, and there the halach is, Yesh la ksuba. And what emerged from the Gemara, the way the Rishonim set up this next Gemara that we're about to learn, is that there are two mahalchim, Reb Shimon ben Elazar and Rebbe. Rebbe first. Rebbe says Pashat. Rebbe says Halalu divrei Torah v'halalu midivrei Seifrim. Shnias la'arayos is divrei Seifrim. Divrei Seifrim tzrichen chizuk. And because they require chizuk, the Chachamim wanted to make a point with an exclamation mark that this marriage is not a good marriage. So what they said was Ein lo ksuba. That's a way of saying that we do not approve of this marriage. That it's not kedas moish of Yisrael. Amar al kohen gadol and all the other cases mentioned in the Mishnah were really dine d'oraisa. And because they're dine d'oraisa, they don't need any chizik, and as a result, ukma adina, the kedushin's taifis. It's true, there is surei bia, but there is a marriage. When there's a marriage, there's a ksuba, and therefore, in these cases, there's going to be ksuba as well. Rav Shimon ben Elazar gave a little bit of a more complicated pshat. He said that the reason there's a difference, and really what determines whether there will be ksuba or will not be ksuba is who's the one that initiated this marriage. In the case of shniyos la'arayos, we assume that she's the one that initiated the marriage. As a result, she loses her ksuba. In the case of Amon al-Kohen Gadol, we assume that he's the one that initiated the marriage, and as a result, we are kohen as him, he's going to lose the ksuba. Now, what's this assumption based on? So Rav Shimon ben Elazar explained. He said, ordinarily, we would assume that the woman is the one that initiates the marriage. Why? Chazal say, Yoyser mimashe ha'ish roitza lisa ha'isha roitza linase. And as a result, we would assume that she's always the one that's behaving in a way that's trying to make this marriage happen. And as a result, by Shnias La'arayas, we assume that she's the one that initiated it. As a result, it's not a good marriage. We're going to give her a knas. The knas is she's going to lose her ksuba. However, as it relates to Hamad al-Kohen Gadol, there the assumption is that she probably was not the one that initiated the marriage. And the reason is because although this woman wants to get married, but women were more sensitive to their halachic status. And no woman wants to be posel. Pasul l'kahuna, pasul l'truma. Not just that, a woman doesn't want that her children should be psulim. So anytime there's a chashash that as a result of this marriage, she's going to end up being a pasul, then we say that as much as yoyser mimasho ish, roitza lisa ha isha roitza linase, it gets tempered by the fact that at the same time, she doesn't want any psulim, and therefore she's not going to go forward with the marriage. So by Amon al-Kohen Gadol and all the other cases mentioned in the Mishnah, this woman, once she gets married, she becomes a halala. Her children will become halalim. There's going to be psul that's going to be created as a result of this marriage. Therefore, we assume she's not the one that initiated it. He's the one that initiated it. His children are also going to be halalim. Apparently, he's less sensitive to it. And therefore, we're not koinus her, we're koinus him. And that's why this ksuba. In other words, the reason there's a difference between shniyos and Amon al-Kohen Gadol, the nakuda is, who's the one that initiated it? And what does that depend on? Is she becoming pasul? Are her children becoming pasul? Is there any psul that's going to be created as a result of the marriage? If there is, we assume he initiated it, and then we kinas him so that she gets her ksuba, which is a knas to him. He has to sign the check, as opposed to in a case where there's not going to be any psul, then we assume yoyser mimasho ish roitza lisa ha'isha roitza linase, and therefore she is going to be the one that's going to lose her ksuba. So we have two distinct pshatim to explain this discrepancy between Shnias La'arayas and Almanul Kangadol V'chulu. According to Rebbe, the chilik is one's the Raisa, one's the Rabbanon, and according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the chilik is in one he initiated it, in the other one she initiated it. And very important for the Gemara we're about to learn. And what is that tali in? In one, she ends up becoming Pasul, or her children end up becoming Psulim. In the other one, there's no Psul that's going to come about. So Zok Tehelik Gemara, with that introduction, my Ikka, Bein Rebbe, the Rabbi Shimon Elazar. What nafgamina is there between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Meaning the assumption is, if they're having this debate, it's not just an academic debate, there probably is some practical nafgamina. There probably is some halachic ramifications. Afraid the Gemara, what is the nafgamina between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Am Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda is going to tell us the first of five potential nafgaminas that the Gemara is going to discuss. So Rav Chisda said, Geshmak, Mamzeres v'nisino li Yisrael. Nafgamina would be, in the event that she was a Mamzeres, or she was in a Sino, and he was a Yisrael. They got married. Yaksub and Noksub. Man, Dama Deiraisa. According to Rebbe, that says all that matters is it a Deiraisa, the Rabbanon Hanami Deiraisa? This is also a Deiraisa. By the way, it sounds like from the Gemara that not only is Mamzeres Deiraisa, that's easy, but it sounds like Nesina is also Deiraisa. That's really a Machlokes Rishonim. This Gemara is one of the Rayas that Nesina would seem to be an Issa Deiraisa. Manda Omer Mipnation Hu Margilo. And according to the Mandama, that says that what it depends on is who's the one that initiated her. In this case, he margalalei. Here we could assume that she's the one that's going to initiate. Why? Because ordinarily we always assume that she's the one that initiates. Why would we ever assume that she's not? Because she doesn't want to become pasul. She doesn't want her children to become pasul. But guess what? In this case, she was born a mamzeres, and as a result, she's anyways pasul. So really, there's no psul that's going to be neschadish as a result of her getting married. As a result, Hadar Dina, that she's probably the one that initiated. And if that's the case, Talach is, she's not going to get Ksuba. So according to Rebbe, it's a Din Dei Raisa, there's no reason to make Chizik, there will be Ksuba. According to Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, there won't be Ksuba. But the Gemara asks a follow-up question. Ula Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Omar, who says, Harei ze Eved, Mamzer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that says, that in the event that a Mamzer has a child with a Shifcha Knanis, and that child is then going to have a din of an Eved and a Mamzer, even if you free the child. We'll see what that means in a minute. So, Holoi Margul, Evelay Midi, it's going to come out. In that case, we should not assume that she's going to be the one that's going to initiate it. So, really, this Gemara is Einoy Oimer Ella Dershuni. What it requires is two long Rashis, and Rashi, Baruch Hashem, gave us the two long Rashis and explains what's going on over here. So, here's the tiny bit of background. There's a Machloikis Reb Tarfin and Reb Eliezer. What happens if a mamzer would marry a shifcha kenanis? So a mamzer would marry a shifcha kenanis, have a child. That child then would become an eved kenani. If the eved kenani was then freed, what would be the halacha with that eved kenani? Reb Tarfin held that eved kenani would be a full-fledged Yisrael and he wouldn't be considered a mamzer. The longness of it is because although a child usually takes the yichus of his father, but at the same time, if his mother is not Jewish, or if his mother is a Shifcha Knanis, then his Yichus goes based on the mother. So this child that was born to the Shifcha Knanis is an Eved Knani. An Eved Knani only has Yichus after the mother, no Yichus after the father. So it comes out there's no Tzad Mamzeris. Once the master then goes and frees this child, it's going to come out this child is going to be a full-fledged Meshuchra. And this is the background to Reb Tarfin's famous line where he said, I could be Metayer the Mamzer. This is what he was referring to. What he meant was, is through a Shifcha Knanis, have a child that's going to be an Eved Knani, be Meshachrim, like this child will be able to be freed. Rebbe Eliezer argued, and Rebbe Eliezer said that no, that's not the case. In the event that Mamzer would have a child from a Shifcha, that child would be an Eved Mamzer. And because the child would be an Eved Mamzer, so as a result, it's not going to work. So what does it have to do with our Cheshbon? What does it have to do with who's the one that's going ahead and initiating? So Rashi adds a Knech that the Gemara doesn't say, a little bit Iker Chaser, and that is that the assumption is that this woman that's a Mamzeres is probably the one that initiated the marriage. Why? Because we always assume that's the case, unless she has something to lose. In this case, she has nothing to lose. But the truth is, Rashi says she has something to lose. Rishon Bias. Because her husband is a regular Yisrael. Now, for whatever reason, he decided he's going to marry this Mamzeres. But then when they're going to have a child, chances are he's going to have charata because he's going to be upset at his wife that you're giving me children, but the children are mamzerim. So he's probably not going to be happy about it. It's going to bring lidei ketata, and as a result, this is something that she's sensitive to. So Rashi says like this, that the Gemara was cheshbening, that we're trying to go into the psyche of this woman. If she gets married to this man, there's really no open downside because she's a apostle anyways. But then again, I'm going to have Shalom Bayis problems. But then again, you know what's going to happen? I could have children that are not mamzerim. But that's only true according to Rav Tarf. According to Rav Eliezer, it's not true. So that's the behind the scenes of what's going on in this Gemara. So the Gemara says that you want to tell me that she's the one that initiated it. Why? Because she has nothing to lose. It's not true. She has her shalom bias to lose. So bishleim elit Rav Tarfin. I hear that's going to counter that side. Oh, but according to Rav Eliezer, that holds Hareza Evan Mamzer, haloi margalev eloi midi. Because of what? Because of the shalom bias component. So if that's the case, this should not be a nafgamino. Because we should assume, according to Rav Eliezer, that he's the one that initiated. So bein l'rebi, bein l'rebi. There should be a ksuba. So Gemara says, "My beinayu." Elam Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Machse grushasay ike beinayu." Nafkemina would be a machse grushasay. Mandama they rise. Mandama says they rise. Nami they rise. This is also they rise. Mandama neishu margil. According to the Mandama that says that the reason there's a difference between the cases is because in one case he initiated, the other case she initiated. Oh, he margilay. In this case, she's for sure the one that's going to initiate. So number one, what's a machse grushasay? Machse grushasay is if a man divorces his wife, he's allowed to marry her back unless she got married to someone else in between. That's why there was a girsa in the Gemara. Machse grusha mishanisis, the Bach takes it out. But that's pshat in the girsa, because that's really the taich of what a machse grushasa is. The reason it's probably not in the Gemara is because that's what machse grushasa is. But regardless, the taich of a machse grushasa is mishanisis. And once she gets married, at that point, he's not allowed to remarry her. Now, if a woman who was married to this man, got married to someone, and now she's going to marry him again, is there anything that's going to potentially happen to her or to her children as a result of this marriage? The answer is no. What could happen? Number one, maybe she's going to become a halala. Well, she's a grusha anyways. A grusha anyways can't marry a kohen. So that's neither here nor there. Maybe her children are going to become halalim in the event that he's a kohen. Maybe there's going to be a problem with the children. That's not a problem, because we had this already a few times in Masechtas Yevamos. It says, he toyeva, and we learn from there, he, the Gemara, havamina, maybe veloy tzara, and the sugi of tzara is machzor grushasa, but the Gemara said, no, he toyeva, veloy banea toyeven. So her children we know are not toyeven. So she has nothing to lose, the children have nothing to lose. So zoch the Gemara Geshma, according to Rebbe, that says what it depends on is deiraisa, machzor grushasa is a deiraisa, so she's going to get ksuba. But according to Rebbe Shimon Elazar, that it depends on whether or not she has something to lose. She has nothing to lose, so she's going to be the one that's going to be margula. Why? Because she's always the one that's margula, because yoisem imasha ish v'chulu. So if that's the case, she's going to not get her ksuba. But the Gemara says, I hear, it's true, geshmak yeteres Rabbi Yosef, but it doesn't work according to every Tana in Shas. Why? The Rabbi Akiva, d'ama yesh mamza mechayvi lavin. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that holds that there's a mamza mechayvi lavin, holay margula v'lay midi. Because even though you have a miyot of hi toyeva, and her children are not toyevin, that's as it relates to the halach of cholo. But as it relates to mamzer, Rabbi Akiva Shita is that anytime a child is born from a chayvi lavin, the child is going to be a mamzer. So what are you telling me? She has nothing to lose. Shoneimo, she has what to lose. Her children are going to be mamzerim. So that teretz could work, but only according to the chum, not according to Rabbi Akiva. Clearly, what we're trying to do in our Gemara is find one size that fits all. We're trying to find one teretz that's going to work according to every single tana in Shas. El Amir Rapapa said, Ba'ula l'kayin gadol l'kibeinayo. Have a nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, if she was a ba'ula and he's a kayin gadol, they're getting married. Kedas, or shalai kedas, Moshe v'Yisrael. The question is, yek suba tzinish ksuba. Man dama deiraisa. Going to man dama says, well, all that matters is deiraisa. Rabbi Shuita nami deiraisa. It's a deiraisa. As a result, she's going to get ksuba. Man dama neshu margilo. But according to man dama that says that the pshat in Amar l'kayin gadol was because he was the one that instigated it. Over here, she's the one that's going to instigate it. Why? Because what does she have to lose? A pe'ula that marries a kohen gadol does not become a chalala. It's not a chayvi lavin. As a result, she does not become a chalala. Her children are not going to be chalala either, because again, it's only a chayvi es and it's not a chayvi lavin. There's no Rabbi Akiva, because even Rabbi Akiva that holds mamzer, that's only mechayvi lavin. This is chayvi es. So really, there's no downside over here. Because there's no downside, we assume she's the one that's margula. That would be the nafkamina. But the Gemara says, no. Well, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, there is a shintas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds yesh cholol mechayvi ase. That chayvi ase creates a cholol. So if that's the case, holoi margula v'lemidi, she's not going to be the one that's going to be margula, because she does have what to lose. Her child will be a cholol. Elam Ravashis. Ravashi said, I'll tell you a fourth mahalach. Machzer sofik soitosoi. Not machzer grushasay, but machzer soitasay. So, hocha b'mayaskinon, where there's a couple that are married, the woman became a safik soita. Kinu istirut, aloha, she has to now go to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to drink from the Beis HaMikdash. Until she drinks from the Beis HaMikdash, she's also labal, she's also labal, she has all these surim, misafik. Safik havadai, but that's the aloha of a safik soita. Now, what would happen if he gave her a get, that's what it sounds like from the Gemara, and now he wants to marry her back. We're showing him, say, why did it have to be machzer safik soitasay? Maybe it's just talking about she became a Safik Saita, and then she was Nivala, or even if she wasn't Nivala. But the point is let's go with the Pasha Pshat. Machzer Safik Saita Sa'ika Bina. Mandam Adai Raisa, according to Mandam, it says that what does it depend on? This marriage, that's not Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Is it Machmasadin Dai Raisa, Hanami Dai Raisa? Till she drinks, she's a Safik Saita, she's going to be awesome. Mandam of Neshu Margilo. But according to Mandam, it says that it depends on who's the one that instigated it. Ha, in this case, he Margilale. The assumption is that she's probably the one that instigated it. Why? Because again, over here, she has nothing to lose. And the reason she has nothing to lose is because a Safik Saita is Aser to her husband, but the Iser is an Iser Aseh. It's not an Iser Lois Aseh, it's an Iser Aseh. So the child, even according to Rabbi Akiva, in the event of, will not be a Mamzer, she's not going to become a Chalala. Why? Because a woman becomes a Chalala if she's Nivala, but she's a Psule Kahuna. This is not Psule Kahuna. And the children wouldn't be chalolim either, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that holds yesh chalolim yichayv yaseh. But again, because it's not psule kahuna. The only time a child is a chalol, if it's a kahuna diga problem. Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutza, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yesh chalolim yichayv yaseh. But that's bu'ulo l'koin gadol. It has to be a kahuna diga inyan. But over here, we're talking about Safik Saita, which is not a kahuna diga inyan. So there's, again, there's not going to be any issues. But the Gemara says, not true. There are massive and chorosh, the omer, afilu holach, baila lashkoisa, uba la baderech, asa zoina, holy margul, there is a shita, the shita of Ramasi ben Chorosh, that says if a husband's Baal Ishtai, Safik Saita, even though all it is an Isra Asay, it makes her a Zayna. If it makes her a Zayna, so now she's Nifsal Olekahuna. So it will affect her. So again, she does have what to lose. So this can't be the Nafgamina. Again, it could be the Nafgamina according to every single Tana, besides from Ramasi ben Chorosh. But we're trying to make it work according to everybody. Elo Omar Mar Baravashi. So Mar Baravashi said, you want to know what the nafkamina would be? Soita vadai ikibenayo. The nafkamina would be in the event that she was a soita vadai. So a man married a soita vadai. Now, she obviously was his wife when she was zinsa. Now the halacha is he's not allowed to marry her. He has to give her a get. He divorced her. He took her back. That's a very, very big problem. The question is, should she get ksuba? Should she not get ksuba? According to Rabbi, it's an Issa Dei Raisa. She's going to get ksuba. There's no reason to make chizik. Counterintuitive. But because it's all chomer, therefore there is going to be a parasha ksuba. But according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, she's not going to get ksuba. And the reason is because we're assuming for sure she's the one that instigated. Why? Because here she's zicha, has nothing to lose. And the reason she's zicha, has nothing to lose, is because Saita Vadai has nothing to do with Chalala. It has nothing to do with Chalalim. She's a Zoyna anyways. So when he's Baalel, he's not going to make her into a Zoyna because she's a Saita Vadai, which by definition means she already is a Zoyna. She's like the Mamzeris in the beginning of the Zugya. She already has a problem. So as a result, nothing is going to be Nischadish. The only Knech you would ask is, what about a coin Rabbi Akiva that holds Yesh Mamzer Mechai V'Lavin? So if Yesh Mamzer Mechai V'Lavin, so the Chert is going to be a child, the child is going to be a Mamzer. So she does have what to lose. So if she marries somebody else, the child won't be a Mamzer, but her husband is a Chai V'Lavin. So the child's going to be a Mamzer. So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Rashi says, such a Geshmak at Teretz. We'll end the Sugya with this, and that is Rashi. She says that Omer Abaya said on Daf Mem Tes that Moide Rabbi Akiva, that even though Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Mamzer Mechayv Lavin, but he was Moide Bebaal Anida Val Hasoita, that the child is going to be a kosher. So Zok Rashi, that's Pshat and Ar Gemara. So that's not an issue either. If that's not an issue, here's your Nafkamina. This works according to everybody. It checks off every single box, and this ultimately is the Nafkamina. We're always trying to figure out what's the Nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's Hesber and the Chiluk between Shnias and Amon El Kohen Gadol V'Chulu and Rebbe's Hesber. They both said completely different pshatim. The Gemara said, maybe it's Mamzeres v'Nesina liYisrael, maybe it's Machzer Grushasoi, Be'ulo l'Kohen Gadol. The Gemara suggested, maybe it's Machzer Safik Saita. The Maskana, the Gemara said, we would be Negei as if someone was Machzer a Saita Vale. That would be the Nafkamina between these two pshatim. It's not just an academic Nafkamina. According to Rebbe, who holds all of matters is Dairaisa, the Halach is, in this case, is going to be Ksuba, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, that said, no, it depends on who's the one that instigated. Ordinarily, by Dairaisa, we assume he's the one that's instigating. But in this case, we actually would assume that it's her. As a result, the Halach is, she will not get any Ksuba. Moving along. Zok Tehillah Mishnah. Bas Yisrael Me'ureses L'Kayim. So again, we're going to continue to discuss halachos related to Truma. We're in the middle of a 20-30 plot digression, which talks so much about Shum. Snuck the Mishnah, a Bas Yisrael that was Mureses to a Kayin. So there was Erisin, there was no one so on to a Kayin. Or Me'uberes Mikayin. There was a Bas Yisrael that was married to a Kayin. Not Erisin, but Nesuin. And then the Kayin died, and she had an Uber, that's a Kayin. Shemeres Yavon the Kayin. Or there was a woman that was married to a Kayin. He died, left over no children, and now she's falling Liyibam to another Kayin. The Chain Bas Kayin Liyisrael. And the same would be if he had a Bas Kayin Liyisrael. And what does this mean? Bas Kayin Liyisrael, meaning she's Mureses to a Yisrael. Or a Bas Kayin that's Me'uberes from a Yisrael. Or a Bas Kayin that Shemeres Yavam to a Yisrael, Loi Toicha B'Truman. All six of these cases, the halach is going to be Loi Toicha B'Truman. So the Mishnah just lumped six halachas where the halach is Loi Toicha B'Truman. But all six of these halachas are different, and let's explain each one individually. And by the way, just like the first Mishnah in the Perek, Tosfos spoke out right away, there's no Greisa Chidushim in this Mishnah. This Mishnah also, the Sefer of the Mishnah will have some Chidushim, but this part of it anyways, there's really no Chidushim, and all it is, it's we're being Masadar a little bit, some of the halachas that we had already. So again, Bas Yisrael, that's Mureses L'Kayin. Dvar Torah, Arusa Bas Yisrael, Echeles B'Truma. My time, Kinyan Kaspoy, Kinyan Habayi, Dekesef. So really, the halachas, she should be able to eat Truma. However, the Rabbanan said that Arusa Bas Yisrael does not eat Truma. Two reasons. Either it's Gzeira Mishum Simpain, or we're afraid that being that she's living at home, maybe one of her siblings or her father is going to end up eating from her Truma, and that's not going to be okay. So Bas Yisrael Mureses L'Kayin, even though Midai Raisa she should eat Truma, she doesn't eat Truma. What does it mean? Bas Yisrael that's Me'uberes Mikayin. A Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kayin eats Truma. If the Kayin dies, it depends. If she had children from the Kayin, so the Ben is Michael of a Truma. If there were no children, so then the Halach is, then she does not eat Truma. What happens if she was Me'uberes? So the Halach is, Ha'uber Einoi Michael. That's the Halach that we saw earlier. And as a result, the din is that she's not going to be able to eat Truma because of the Uber Kayin. You would have thought maybe, yeah, Kamash Malon, no. And then finally, Shemeres Yavam L'Kayin. What happens if you have a Bas Yisrael that's a Shemeres Yavam to a Kayin? So Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kayin is a Ladi Truma, but then he died. Clearly there's no children, that's why we're talking about Yibum, but she's Zakuk now to the Kayin. Could she eat Truma? Could she not eat Truma? Zok the Mishnah, she can't eat Truma. Now this is something that we've learned about in the past. We also discussed Machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whether this halach is Midei Raisa or it's only Midei Rabbanan. Rabbeinu Tam holds Yesh Zika Midei Raisa in order for it to be able to eat Truma, it's only Midei Rabbanan that she can. Rashi holds that this halacha is even a din d'iraisa. You don't have iske shavayis ladadi, the epic avni meluim and shuvas avni meluim simin yudzayin. But either way, yiyeich shiyah, the halacha is in all three of these cases, she won't be able to eat truma. And Zok the Mishnah, the same is true in the reverse. V'chein bas koyin li yisrael loy toicha b'truma. What does this mean? A bas koyin that's mu'reses li yisrael can eat truma. Bas koyin's allowed to eat truma. If she marries a yisrael, then she can't eat Truma. What if all there was Erisin? Being that Midday Raisa, Erisin is marriage, so the halach is that she's not letting Truma. It's a little bit of a chiddush, because Bas Yisrael, that's Mureses L'Kayin, can't eat Truma. So, L'chura, you should be able to have your cake and eat it too, right? You shouldn't be able to have your Truma and eat it too. L'chura, it should go both ways, but that's not the way it is. So, the halach is Erisin is not Michael, and Erisin is Paisel. So, the Bas Kayin that has Erisin to the Yisrael is not going to be able to eat Truma. The same is true if you have a Bas Kayin that's a Mu'beres with a Yisrael. Bas Kayin that's married to Yisrael can't eat Truma. Man dies, it depends. If she has children that are Yisrael, the Yisrael is Paisel. If there's no children, she goes back to Truma the Beinasha, she's able to eat Truma again. What if there was an Uber? So the Uber Yisrael disallows her from being able to eat Truma. That's the Chiddush. Uber Paisel ve'enei Meichel. So even though it was Enei Meichel, that's the beginning of the Mishnah, but he's Paisel, that's the end of the Mishnah. And finally, a Bas Kayin that has a Zika to a Yisrael, the Halach is, will not be able to eat Truma. So even though the Zika is not enough to be Meichel v'Truma, but again, the Zika is enough to be able to be Paisel v'Truma. That's the ratio of the Mishnah. Next case, Bas Yisrael Me'ureses Alevi. If you have a Bas Yisrael, that's Me'ureses to a Levi. Or Me'uberes Me'Levi. Or Shemeres Yavam Le'Levi. It's all the same cases. V'chein Bas Levi Li'Yisrael. Or if it's in the reverse, you have a Bas Levi that's either Me'ureses Li'Yisrael, Me'uberes Me'Yisrael. She's a Shemeres Yavam to Yisrael. In all these cases, Loi Toicha B'Meiser, the halach is, she will not be able to eat Meiser. So just like you have this halacha with Rabas Yisrael and a Kayin, you have the same exact halacha with a Bas Yisrael Levi. What's the obvious kasha before we even see it? It's going to be the first kasha of the Gemara. But the obvious question is, a non-Kayin is not allowed to eat Truma, but everyone's allowed to eat meiser. So what's this halacha? Could a bas Yisrael, yeah, eat meiser, not eat meiser. Could a bas Levi, yeah, eat meiser, not eat meiser. Meiser is chulin. Meiser sheni is hektish, but meiser rishon is chulin. So if meiser rishon is chulin, what could possibly be the problem? It's going to be the Gemara's kasha. And finally, there's a seifa. There's a third case of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, bas Levi, me'ureses l'koyin. If there was a bas Levi, that was me'ureses l'koyin. Or me'uberes me'koyin. Or shaymeres yavam l'koyin. Again, the same exact cases. V'chein the reverse. Bas koyin l'levi. Where you had a bas koyin that was either me'ureses to a levi, me'uberes from a levi, shaymeres yavam to a levi. So the halach is loy toichal b'truma. In both, all six cases, there's no truma, v'loy b'meiser, and there's no meiser either. And here too, the Gemara is going to discuss that we understand the loy toichal b'truma part. But what's the loy toichal b'maisa part, right? Let's just explain that a little bit. A bas levi that's me'ureses l'kayin is really like a bas Yisrael that's me'ureses l'kayin. A levi klape truma is really like a bas Yisrael. There's no difference. A levi can't eat truma, chayv misa, just like a bas Yisrael is. So really there's no difference. And because there's no difference, so bas levi me'ureses l'kayin, mu'beres mikayin, shemeres yovam l'kayin, loy toichal b'truma is the same as the first line of the Mishnah. Bas Yisrael me'ureses l'kayin, mu'beres mikayin, shemeres yovam l'kayin, loy toichal b'truma. The same is the reverse. When we say v'chein bas koyin lelevi, in the case where it's meureses lelevi or meuberes melevi or shemeres yavam lelevi loy toichal b'truma, again that we understand because a bas koyin can only eat truma, assuming there's no greisa yachas to a Yisrael. If there's erusin to a Yisrael, she's carrying a child that's a Yisrael, even if she's only a zakik to a Yisrael, that would disallow her now from being able to eat truma. But the meiser part, what's the problem? L'chayr, a bas levi's allowed to eat meiser, and a bas koyin's allowed to eat meiser. So what's the problem? How does the erusin between the bas koyin and the levi, and vice versa, how does that impact the laws of meiser? That's all nichlal, and what the Gemara is about to discuss. We're going to have a whole Amid Gemara now, but the Gemara is going to get into really understanding the second and the third part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was really made up of a Reisha, a Mitziyasa, and a Sefer, just to get it clear. The Reisha is talking about bas Yisrael l'koyin and bas koyin l'Yisrael. A lot to talk about, but we talked about it already. That's the good news. So this is already a sugya that we've gone through. The middle case is bas Yisrael l'levi and a bas levi l'Yisrael that we've never discussed. And the third case is bas levi l'koyin and bas koyin l'levi. So zok tehe l'gigamar. Starting with the second case, bas Yisrael me'ureses l'levi, agan tzitzir and a mishnah. Six cases, really. Well, yeah, ma'isa, no ma'isa, fake the gemar, v'tehe zara, I understand. Let it be a zara. She's a full-fledged Zara. A Bas Yisrael that's only Mureses Lelevi, she's a Zara. Bas Yisrael that is carrying only a baby that's a Levi, no, she's a full-fledged Yisrael. She's only Zakuk, full-fledged Yisrael. The Bas Levi is Mureses Yisrael. Oh, she's a full-fledged Bas Yisrael now. She's Zakuk, she has a baby that's Yisrael. Who cares? All six cases, Zara, 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 Zara. But at the end of the day, V'tehe Zara, Zara, Milo Yochla, B'Meiser? Since when could a Zara not eat Meiser? The Truma part of this Mishnah is Zok D'Gemara Fashteich. But the Meiser part of the Mishnah has no Havana. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Ashmuel, I'm Ani Rameir. So Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel, you know the Tana of the Mishnah is, it's Rameir, the Omar, who said, we've seen Shitas Rameir already, Masechtas Yevam is Meiser Rishon, Asel Lazar. Rameir has a Shita that Meiser Rishon is Asel Lazar. Just like Truma is Asel Lazar, Meiser Rishon is also Asel Lazar. Again, to be clear, Maisa Sheini is for sure hektish. Maisa Sheini lo yachalti bo'ini mimeni, v'lo yb'yarti mimeni b'tame. Right, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, and Maisa Sheini has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, b'ktusha. So there's a whole bunch of halachas related to Maisa Sheini. But Maisa Rishon, v'achalta Moisa b'chol makam, afilu b'beis ha'kvaris, Rashi says of Chumash. Maisa Rishon is real chulin. So l'chur, if Maisa Rishon is real chulin, so what's the problem over here? So the Gemara says it's Rameyer. Rameyer holds Maisa Rishon is also Lazarim. Because it's also Lazarim, so that's why it is a Mishnah. What's the makar to this Rameyer? This is a Shas Yediyah. The Tanya, it's the following price. A Truma l'koyin. Truma belongs to the koyin, and Maisa Rishon l'levi. And Maisa Rishon belongs to the levi. Divi Rameyer. So Rameir said, who do you give Truma to? Everyone knows, to the Kohen. Who do you give Maiser Rishon to? Everyone knows, the Pasuk in the Torah, you give it to the Levi, right? Not so fast. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Matira, the Kohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, no, Maiser Rishon, a Kohen's a lady. Faith Gemara, Matira? He's allowed to eat him, a chal de command aser. What is there anyone that holds that you're not allowed to eat Maiser Rishon? Maiser Rishon is chulin. Why would he have to say Matira? Ele'ema nois noy aflakoin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, you don't dafka have to give your Maiser Rishon to a Levi. If you want to give your Maiser Rishon to a Kohen, you're allowed to give it to a Kohen. We're going to see on Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss this, and the Gemara is also going to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself was a Kohen. So this is a Kahana that's Misayeya Kahana. An expression that Chazal used in different places. But either way, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, right? 10th Dor from Ezra HaSofer. And He said, no, Meisen Rishon, you don't have to give a daf to a Levi. You can give it to me. It's fine. It's kosher. If you want to give it to a Kohen, you're allowed to give it to a Kohen. So the Gemara says, essentially, we have a machloikis over here as it relates to Meisen Rishon. According to Rav Meir, you have to give Meisen Rishon dafka to the Levi. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if you want to give it to the Kohen, you can give it to the Kohen. My time with Rav Meir, what's pshat in Rav Meir? Actually, before my time with Rav Meir, is an important Rashi. So Rashi says, where do you see in this braisa that Rav Meir holds that Meisen Rishon is also Lazar? Right, why are we bringing this braisa? Rav Meir Shita is that Meisen Rishon is also Lazar. Where do you see it in the braisa? Truma l'koyin, ma'aserishin l'levi divi rameyer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, matira l'koyin. What does matira l'koyin mean? If you want to give it to a koyin, you can give it to a koyin. So you have over here, machloikis rameyer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whether you can give ma'aserishin to a koyin, you have to give it to a levi. You see here, anywhere, a shita that holds that ma'aserishin is also l'zorim. So Rashi says that you have to say that the Gemara held that from the fact that rameyer juxtaposed truma l'koyin and Meisen Rishon LeLevi, he held Meisen Rishon LeLevi is mamish like Truma LeKoyin. And just like Truma LeKoyin means LeKoyin v'loy LeZorim, so to Meisen Rishon LeLevi is going to mean the same exact thing. It has to be Dafka to a Levi, it can't be to a Zor. And Rashi says, I'll explain to you where the Gemara was coming from. It's not just because he mentioned Truma LeKoyin, Meisen Rishon LeLevi. It's because, really, the Gemara was bothered. Why did Rav Meir mention the word Truma? Why is Truma mentioned in this Braisa? Good question. The Machloikis in this Braisa is a Machloikis Rav Meir Lozman as I, what you do with Meisen Rishon? There's no discussion here about Truma. So why was Truma even mentioned? Why are we talking about Truma L'Koyin? Truma L'Koyin? Why are we talking about Truma L'Koyin? You know why? Because the Bryce is coming to say something. Bryce is coming to tell me, Ramey is coming to tell me that I want you to know my solution is a Levi, but not just my solution is a Levi. Dum yud the Truma L'Koyin. And just like Truma L'Koyin is also Lazarim, so too my solution is also Lazarim. And Rashi adds another knage. He says that it's a little mashma that way from also from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Lashon. Because what was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Lashon? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah matiroi L'Koyin. So the Gemara jumped on it. Matira l'koyin, and the Gemara explained what he meant. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I hold that Meisen Rishon is mutter to a... It sounds like Rav Meir was telling me something about Isser. And he was saying that this is also to everybody. And kumt Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and there's zog, obasim mutter to a koyin. So zog Rashi, that was another hechrich that the Gemara had, that when Rav Meir said Meisen Rishon Levi didn't just mean you're supposed to give it to the Levi, but he meant that it has to be given to the Levi, and it's going to be also Lazar. So number one, from the fact that it says Truma L'Koy Meisen Rishon L'Levi, and number two, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Matir L'Koy. But either way, that's Rav Meir Shita, and that's what our Mishnah means. The reason our Mishnah, there's a shmuz over here about a Bas Levi and a Bas Yisrael, which relates to Meisen, because we're going to Rav Meir, going to Rav Meir, it's a problem. What's the makar to Rav Meir? Amar Rav Acha b'rei d'Rabba mishmei d'gemar. So Rav Acha b'rei d'Rabba said that I didn't hear this from Rav Meir, but I have a gemara. I have a mesoira. Rashi, kach kibel mei rabbi v'rabbi mei rabbi ad Rav Meir sheshoma mishmoi. Either way, he said echab azam mesoira that this pshana Rav Meir. The pasuk says kies masab in Yisrael ashiya rimu l'Hashem truma. Pasuk is talking about meiser and refers to hafrosh as meiser as truma. Not truma asru l'zarm. Just like truma is also l'zarm. Haf meiser rishon also l'zarm. So to Rav Meir holds that Meisen Rishon is also Lazar. So the Gemara, I ma truma chayavon ala misa v'chaimish. You're going to tell me it's mamish like truma. So truma, we know if a zar eats it, he's chayav misa. If he does it b'meizid, if he does it b'shoygig, he's chayav chaimish. So if Meisen chayavon ala misa v'chaimish, you can tell me somebody eats meisner b'meizid, he's chayav misa. And if he does it b'shoygig, he's chayav chaimish. On my crow, the pasuk says umesu boy ki yichalalu v'yosav chamishisoy olav boy. It says regarding Misa v'loy b'maiser, a love. It says regarding Chaimish v'loy b'maiser. Zok t'gemar v'rabbanan. What did the Rabbanan do with this? Hekish, right? The Pasuk seems to equate Meisr and Truma. Rav Meir says to teach me that it's also Lazarim. The Rabbanan don't agree with that. So according to the Rabbanan, what's this Sheiches between Meisr and Truma? So the Gemara says Rabbanan learned a different, also very important halacha. Ma Truma teiveles, af Meisr Rishon nami teivel. We're familiar with Tevel. Tevel is if somebody eats peiros, she'ino misukanim. He wasn't mafris, Truma so Meisris. Now, there could have been a havim, you know, that maybe the only thing you need to do to make your peiros not tevel is be mafris truma gedoyla, the real original truma. Could be once you do that, it's not tevel anymore. That's the chiddush of this halacha. The pasuk equates meiser and truma to tell me that just like truma is teufel, meaning if you're not mafris truma So your peiros is going to be tevel. So too, mais is ma'akiv in tevel. Ukidatanya, and it's really a brisa. Rabbi Yosi said, Yochlo yechai velal tevel shleihur mimenu kalikar. You would think that the only time there's a chi of tevel is if you weren't mafresh anything, meaning you didn't even do truma. But hur mimenu truma gedaylo. But once you mafresh truma gedaylo, shleihur mimenu maiser rishain, or you mafresh maiser rishain, v'leih maiser sheni, or you mafresh maiser rishain, v'afilo maiser ani, but you weren't mafresh maiser ani. Right, you never mafresh maiser sheni, maiser ani. That was a little tricky. But so you would think. How do you know that that's also considered tevel? Meaning, how do you know that tevel is not just you weren't mafresh truma gedoyla? I was mafresh truma gedoyla, my serisha, not my serani. How do you know that's also? So Talmud Lomer, it says loisucha lacha b'sharecha. That's in the parsha of Maiser. Ulahalalu oimer. It says the achlu b'sharecha. That's in the parasha of Maiser Ani, and we learn from there. It says b'sharecha b'negeya iser achila of Maiser. And other things as well. It's Nes B'Sharecha in the parasha of Maiserani. Masharecha Amar Lahala Maiserani. Just like the word Sharecha there is a reference to Maiserani. Af Sharecha Amar Kan. So too it says Sharecha by Loisuchal Bach Sharecha. It's Maiserani. Amar Rachmana. What's the Torah saying? Loisuchal. Thou shall not eat. Thou cannot eat. But thou shall not eat. It's not something you're allowed to do. And as a result, you see clearly that the Isser Tevel is true not only for Truma Gedoyla, but it's true for Maiserishin. It's true for all things. Now, the Gemara just said that Rameir, that Chachanim, who argued with Rameir, who hold that Maaser Rishon is Mutal Zon. Doesn't it say it has called Masa B'nei Yisrael She'arimu Truma? Sounds like there's a Shagot in Truma and Maaser. Rameir used that to teach me that Maaser Rishon is also Lazar. No, Chum used it for something else. Chum used it to tell me that it's Teufel. That Maaser is Ma'akiv and Tevel, just like Truma is Ma'akiv and Tevel. And the Gemara says, Ukid Rabbi Yosi, who learned it from somewhere else. Now, L'chura, if we'd stop right here, we'd have a little bit of a kasha. So you tell me I have two makairis? Why don't you do psukim for? The Rabbanan use it for Rabbi Yosi's halacha, who learned it from somewhere else. If he learned it from somewhere else, I don't need this pasuk. So without speaking it out, the Gemara is going to ask that question. So the Gemara, v'i mehasam. What does the Gemara mean? If I have Rabbi Yosi's drasha, so why do I need this drasha, right? The Gemara feels that it needs to speak this out because this is all part of the punchline. Had I only had Rabbi Yosi's drasha, I would have thought lulav. I would have thought all there is a lav. Avon misaloi, maybe not misa. Kamash malon. That's why I have a second pasuk, and the second pasuk teaches me that not only loisucha lecha b'sharecha that there's a lav if you're not mafresh ma'isa, but it's the same exact chomer. And just like tevel, when you weren't mafresh shuma gedoyla, there's misa v'dei shemayim. So too, if you weren't mafresh shuma gedoyla, but you weren't mafresh my serishin, or you mafresh my serishin, or mafresh my serishin, my sani, near to this is going to be misa lishna achrina, another lishna for this last kinech. Meaning, in this next lishna, the Gemara said that why, according to the Rabbanon, does it say it's komasa b'nei Yisrael sheirimu l'Hashem truma? It's to teach me that just like truma is tevelas, so too mice is tevelas. And here the Gemara in this lishna didn't read ois Rabbi Yosi. So faker, in this lishna, the Gemara, if the Gemara that's making the cheshbon didn't read Ois Rabbi Yosi, so the Gemara is going to ask on him. The Gemara is going to go on the attack. Says the Gemara, Maaser Rishon de Tavel mid Rabbi Yosi nafka. Meaning here he was just saying him the day. He says, I hope that's what it's coming to tell me without machin zech listening from Rabbi Yosi. So afraid the Gemara, I don't we have Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara gave the same teretz. Imahi had I had Rabbi Yosi, I would have thought alav. Avol misaloi kamash malon. That is the zok the Gemara. B'mayoy kim to kirameir. So basically, we had a kasha. The first part of Mishnah, we didn't discuss. We discussed it earlier in the Masechta, but we understand it. The second part of the Mishnah, at first glance, seemed like Sisrei Torah. What's the problem over here? Bas Yisrael to a Levi, or Bas Levi to Yisrael, we're handling the ability to eat Maaser? Everyone can eat Maaser. Oh, now we know it's not so true. Now everyone can eat Maaser. Zara's not allowed to eat Maaser. Zara's not allowed to eat Maaser. The same sugi you have with Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, as regarding Truma, you'd have with a Bas Yisrael to a Levi. In the same sugi you have with a Bas Kohen to a Yisrael, regarding Truma, you'd have a Bas Levi to Yisrael. So we understand the whole middle case. The problem is, there's a third part of the Mishnah. The third part of the Mishnah was Bas Levi, that was Mu'ureses L'Kohen, or Mu'beres Mikohen, a Shemeres Yavam L'Kohen. In all those cases, the halacha is, the Bas Levi, not only can't she eat Truma, that's easy, but she also can't eat Maaser. She loses her ability to eat Maaser. And the same is true if you had a Bas Koyein Lelevi, where she was Mu'ureses to a Levi, Mu'beres from a Levi, or Shemeres Yavam to a Levi, she too can't eat Truma, that we understand, because the Levi is like a Zar, it's no different than the Bas Koyein that had those three things to a Yisrael, but also Leibem Maaser. And the Gemara is going to ask that I don't understand that last knitch. Everything in the Mishnah got. The Koyein Tremei can make the whole Mishnah work. That last knesh, that the Bas Koyein Levi, Loi teuchel b'meiser, truma got it. But b'meiser, das verstehe ich nicht. Verwas nicht. And it's based on an assumption, again, that the Gemara doesn't speak out. But the Gemara is assuming that that's poshet, that even according to Rav Meir, that holds that meiser rishon is also lazarn, but avada koyin's ladit. And avada bas koyin's ladit. Even though Rav Meir holds meiser rishon is lelefi, not like Rav Elazar ben Azariah's bal plukto, who says, no, you can even give it to a koyin. But at the end of the day, a koyin's not a zar klapi meiser rishon. Impossible. And if that's the case, so we explained everything in the Mishnah besides for the last two words. The veloy ben meiser of the bas koyin lelefi. L'chayr, bas koyin is allowed to eat meiser anyways. So how could it? The fact that she's mureses to a levi, it somehow impact her ability from eating meiser. I understand the erusin is not enough to give her a schus meiser, but altspas koyin, she was anyways able to eat meiser. That's going to be the Gemara's question. But Maya came to Rameir. How do you make the Mishnah work? Oh, Rameir, once you plug in Rameir, who, by the way, it's not Mishnah's Rameir, so it's never a doichik to say the Mishnah's Rameir. It's always gewaldig when the Mishnah's Rameir. But at the same time, Ema Seifa, how are you going to understand the Seifa? Bas levi mu reses le koyin, who bas koyin le levi, that's what we need. Loi teuchal, loi betrum of a loi b'meiser. So what's the Kasha, I don't understand what the problem is over here. Why is there no meiser? L'chayra, a koyin's allowed to eat meiser, just like a levi's allowed to eat meiser. So how is it that the bas levi loses her ability to eat meiser, and why is it that the bas koyin's not allowed to eat meiser? L'chayra, why should you not be able to eat meiser? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, right, hocha my zoris, what's the zoris over here? Rav Sheshes said, my ena oichelus tiktoni, and just to speak out, balpeh, the Gemara now is going to say two different mahalchim, and both mahalchim, as we'll see, are going to be dechukim. The Gemara is even going to acknowledge it a little bit, that both mahalchim are going to be dechukim. The ayin b'rishayin, there's a lot of obvious kashas on the Gemara's mahalchim. We do what we do. But the Gemara says, mahalach number one, what does ena oichelus mean? It means ena noisenes rishus litroin. What it means is that she can't give permission. Rashi says she can't appoint the shliach to go ahead and to be toyrim on her behalf. So ordinarily, as the Gemara is about to say, a married woman has rights not only to eat truma, but also in the hafrosha of the truma. So a balabas gets to decide what exactly he's mafresh for his truma. He can make a shliach, he could do it by himself, he could do it by in yafa, he could do it by in ra, he could be a beinani, he could do more, he could do less. It is not much of a share. And really, if he wants, he could do it however he wants to do it. What about the woman? Does his wife have rights? Does she have not have rights? She runs the kitchen. She's the balabusta. But tachlis, when it comes to making these big decisions, is this something she's allowed to do, or is it something that she's not allowed to do? So we'll see. The Gemara is about to say that the answer is yes. That is something that she is allowed to do. However, only once she's in a suah. If all she is an arusa, then that isn't something that she's allowed to do. And essentially what we're saying over here is that if a bas koyin, for example, was meureses to a levi, so the halach is, of course, she's allowed to eat truma. And when the Mishnah says, she's allowed to eat meiser. And when the Mishnah says, Eino Echelos meiser, doesn't mean she can't eat it. Of course she can eat it. So what does it mean, Eino Echelos? What it means is she can't appoint the shliach to go ahead and do it. Because all she has is erisin. And because all she has is erisin, she's not a balabas. So for her, oris is geshaft. She has no right to go ahead. Now, number one, you're going to tell me, why does it then say Eino Echelos? If it means she can't appoint the shliach, so why is it Eino Echelos? So the Rishonim say, Eino Echelos means she can't just eat on a dime. She can't just eat whenever she wants to eat. If she has tevel, and she needs hafrosha now in order to be able to eat, she won't be able to eat. Now, where's the negeya hafrosha on maiserishin? Trumas maiser, right? That's where it's negeya. So if she has maiserishin, and you need to be mafrish trumas maiser, which means you have to give it to a kohen, right? This is all ikar chaser in the Gemara. It all needs to be explained. So if she needs to now be able, she has to be able to be mafrish trumas maiser. Eino Echelos, another way of saying, she can't appoint the shliach. That's what it means. Now, in the hell, she can't appoint the shliach. Could she do it herself? Chayr not. So if she can't do it herself, why are you saying she can't appoint the shliach? Rashi says that what does it mean? Eino nesener reshus l'shlucha litrein. So the Mefarshim say that anachanami. For some reason, the Gemara said it in that way, but it didn't mean it necessarily that way. In fact, the reason she can't appoint the shliach to do it is because she can't do it herself. And anything you can't do, you can't appoint the shliach to do for you. But the bottom line is, that is really what this all means. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me that when we say that this bas koyin, that's mu'uresas lelevi, that is eino echeles b'meiser, not that she can't eat meiser, she could physically eat meiser, Because even according to a mayor, she's not a zar. But what it means in a chelz b'mayis is that she's not a balabusta to be able to go ahead and do this. Mechlal, that would imply the nesuah, that had she been a nesuah, noisnenes b'shos, then she would be able to nois in shos. Is that true? The Gemara says, in v'tanya t'braisa, v'chal t'mayis b'chal mokayim, atem u veischem. We learn from there, al nesuah bas yisrael, she noisnenes b'shos l'itroim. We learn from this pasuk that a nesuah bas yisrael is allowed to give permission for others to go ahead and to be mafreshum. Maybe when the pasuk says that these people are allowed to eat truma, maybe it just means that they're allowed to eat meiser. Again, not truma, meiser. The pasuk about meiser. So maybe it's just telling me that she's allowed to eat meiser. Right? Just like a bas koyin and an ishes koyin is allowed to eat meiser. So the pasuk is saying, maybe that's what it means. How do you know the pasuk is coming to be marbe that she has the right to give reshus to other people to be mafresh? So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. I don't need a pasuk for that. Because truma chamura, ichelis, meiser, akal, ikolshkin, madach, she could eat the truma chamura. So certainly she could eat the meiser, akal. So why would I need a pasuk for this? El limid on the suah bas yisrael, shenay senes, reshus, literally must be what coming to teach me is that an Nesuah Bas Yisrael is Noisenes Rishus Litraim. Either way, that is what the point of the Mishnah is. When the Mishnah says that the Bas Koyin, that's Mu'ureses Lelevi, that Loch is Eino Icheles, not Eino Icheles, not true, she is Icheles, Eino Icheles whenever she wants, because in order to be Icheles, you have to be Mafish Shumas Meiser, and she doesn't have a right to be Mafish Shumas Meiser, even though an Nesuah does, Mu'uresness doesn't. Now, the truth is, this explains the halacha of Bas Koyin Lelevi, where she was Mu'uresas Lelevi. What's the halacha of Bas Koyin that's Mu'uberes Melevi? What's the halacha of Bas Koyin that's Shemeres Yovam Lelevi? So, Ayin Toisvis and the Rishonim, they explain it, the Gemara doesn't explain it, but Ayin Toisvis in the Rishonim. Anyway, that's the first pshat that the Gemara gives for the last case of the Mishnah. The second pshat that the Gemara gives is Mar Bre de Ravono Omar. He said a different pshat. Loimi, you want to know what the Mishnah means when it says that a Bas Koyin, that's Mu'uresas Levi. That loch is, she's Enoi Chalas Meiser. It's coming to teach us, she ain't Cholkin Loi Meiser with Beis Agronis. It doesn't mean she can't eat Meiser, she could eat Meiser. But it means if she would go to the Beis Agronis by herself and she would try to collect the Meiser, we wouldn't give it to her. We wouldn't give it to her because all she is an Arusa. So if she was in a Suah, so then already we would give it to her. But if all she is an Arusa, that's what it sounds like, we wouldn't give it to her. The Gemara is going to clarify. Now, the same exact halacha that is said with regards to a Bas Koyin related to Truma. I mean, if a Bas Koyin or an Eishes Koyin wants to collect Truma, so the halacha is if she goes to collect Truma by herself, we don't give her the Truma. And the Gemara gives two reasons why that's the case. One mandama says it's Mishum Yichud. Mishum Yichud, we're worried about a Yichud problem. You're going to go to people, you're going to end up in a Yichud situation. Another Pshat, the Gemara says Mishum Grusha, because we're afraid that if she's going to collect Truma by herself, even when she's not with her husband, maybe she'll end up being a Grusha. People are going to think that she used to always come by herself, so now she could also come by herself. It turns out she's a Grusha. The Gemara says, Honey, Mishum Yichud. Coin to Mandama says that's Mishum Yichud. That's why that loch is that an Ashes coin is not allowed to take by herself. So that would explain why this Ashes slave is also not allowed to take by herself. Elo Mandama Mishum Grusha. But according to Mandama says it's Mishum Grusha. Grusha Baslevi Milo Yachla Bemaisa. Grusha Baslevi anyways a lady in Maisa. So if she's anyways a lady in Maisa, so what's the greatest problem? So the Gemara says, well, Lutamech, according to you understand Grusha, let me ask you, Grusha Bas Koyin Milo Yachla Bechuma. A Grusha Bas Koyin is a lady Chuma. So why is it that every single Bas Koyin or Eishes Koyin is not allowed to go by herself? It should be only true if she's a Bas Yisrael Eishes Koyin. But if she's a Bas Koyin Eishes Koyin, it should be okay. Ella, the reason is Gzeir Mishum Grusha Bas Yisrael. Obviously, it's Gzeir because of Grusha Bas Yisrael. No, if that's the case, Snotu over here, you're going to tell me it's also a Gzeira Otu, the Grusha Bas Yisrael. It's the same exact Gzeira, so we're worried about the Grusha Levi Otu, the Grusha when it comes to Truma, and it's for that reason it's going to be a problem. But if that's the reason that she's not allowed to go, if when the Mishnah says that she's not allowed to eat Truma, what it means is she can't go take Truma by herself. Not that she can't put the Truma in her mouth, but it means she can't go by herself. So my Yirimura says, I feel in the Suah. What's if to do with Erisin? Even if she's in a Suah, you should have the same problem. You're worried about Yichud, the matters if she's in a Rusa or in a Suah. You're worried about the Gzera, Grusha, in a case of Truma. So I understand. So what's the difference between an Arusa and a Suah? So the Gemara says, you're right. Really, Arusa's Lav Dafka. And I did the Tana Resha Muresas, Tana Navi Sefa Muresas. Being that the first part of the Mishnah was very much Negeya. It was very much Talin Me'ureses. So too in this last case, we mentioned Me'ureses as well. So again, we mentioned that these Pshatim are a little bit Dechukim and Ayim Rishonim that are very Meirich and a lot of Dechukim and Pasha Pshat in this Gemara. Again, the Gemara only addressed Me'ureses in both Pshatim and the Gemara. The Gemara didn't even address Me'uberes et Shemeres Yavam. But just one thing is clear, we have the first Halach in the Mishnah, that's Bas Yisrael, Lekoyin, Bas Koyin, Yisrael. Sugis that we've learned already about. Second case was Bas Yisrael, the Levi, or Bas Levi, the Yisrael, Pashtis, the Gemara never fell off of what it said, and that is Hamani Rameiri, although again, that's also a discussion in the Rishonim. But the Pashup Shan in the Gemara is that that's Rameir. Rameir holds that Maiser Rishon is also Lazarim. As it relates to the third case, what does it even mean, the third case, that a Bas Koyin is not letting Maiser? That's the part that bothers the Gemara the most. What's Pashup Shan in there? And the Gemara says, it really, when it says Enoi Cheles, it's going to mean one of two things. Either it means Enoi Cheles because all she is an Arusa, so she can't just eat whenever she wants, because in order to eat Maiser, you have to be Mafish Trumas Maiser, and she doesn't have the ability to be Mafish Trumas Maiser. It's a contrast to an Asua that does have the ability to be Mafish Trumas Maiser. Inami, alternatively, when it says Enoi Cheles, it means she can't go by herself to collect the food. Why? Because of Yichud, or because what happens if she'll end up being a Grusha? Now, not her, because Grusha's Levi anyways is allowed to eat Chulin, but what if you had the same story, not with someone that's a Levi, but you had an Eishes Kayin that was going, and a Grusha's Eishes Kayin would potentially lose her ability to eat truma in the event that she's a Bas Yisrael. That's what we're worried about, and for that reason we said it's not going to be okay. So the daf ends a little bit lighter. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going back really to the top of the Amid. On the top of the Amid we had a Braisa, Machlokes Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as it relates to who do you give Maaser Rishon to. Truma, we know, goes to a Kohen. That's not disputable. Maaser Rishon Lelevi, Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said af l'Kohen. Zok the Gemara, Nacha Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Truma l'Kohen, u'Maaser Rishon Lelevi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So on top of the Amid, it was Divrei Rav Meir. Here it's Rabbi Akiva. Meir was a Talmud Muvik Rabbi Akiva. It's the same halacha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, l'Kohen, that no, you give it to a Kohen. Freit the Gemara, l'Kohen v'loy l'Levi, you give it to a Kohen and not to a Levi. The Gemara says, Eima af l'Kohen. No, not L'Kohen v'loy l'Levi, af l'Kohen. This Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. My time to Rabbi Akiva. What's Pshat Rabbi Akiva? Why does he hold that you give Maaser Rishon Dafka to the Levis? The Chsiv, it's a pasuk. It says, V'al Levim t'dabi v'amarta aleihem. The Parsha Maaser, but Levim Shtoikra, it's clearly talking to the Levim. The Idach, what is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? You can hold Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But Esrim Barbam and Koyim is Nikru Kehanim Levim. There's 24 places in the Torah where the Torah forced the Kehanim as Levim. V'zeh Echamihem. The following is one of them. What is that? V'Kehanim Alevim b'nei Tzadok. Talking clearly about Kehanim, and it says V'Kehanim Alevim. But either way, so obviously Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that this pasuk of Ve'el Halevim Tedaber V'Yomarta is talking, or is one of the 24 times that it says Levim, it really means Kayanim, so it means Kayanim. Now it says Levim, so it means Levim, and it means Kayanim. Sokti Yamara of Rabbi Akiva, Hacha loy Motzis Amrit. Rabbi Akiva is going to counter to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and say, I don't disagree with Rabbi Shmuel Levi. I'm okay with there being Azasort Mesoira. And it could be that sometimes Levi means even Kayan. But over here it doesn't mean that. How do I know that? The Chesiv, because the Pasuk says, Vachalta Moise Bechal Makim. Your lady, Maise Bechal Makim. What does that mean, Bechal Makim? Misha Yachal Loichle Bechal Makim. Yatza Kayan, Shein Yachal. As opposed to a Kohen who can't eat in a Beis HaKfaris. Why? Because he can't walk into a Beis HaKfaris. So it can't mean the Kohen. So the Gemara says, no, v'idach Rav Elazar ben Azariah is going to tell you, kol heicha d'boi, d'loi boi, what the Pasuk means when it says, v'chal t'mayis b'chal makim, it doesn't mean everywhere. What it means is, anywhere you're allowed to go, you can eat. In other words, d'loi boi chayma, you don't need a wall, you don't need the chaymas Yerushalayim, like Mais Hasheni, for example, like Kachem Kalim, the and if you eat b'tumas hagof, like lucky, we're not going to shmeis you. That's what it means. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you can physically eat it everywhere. So if it doesn't necessarily mean you can physically eat it anywhere, so if that's the case, that's not going to be a problem. The Gemara is going to end, or we're going to end the Gemara, with one anecdote. Hahigi nosa, there was a garden, that was shalko Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Maaser Rishon minah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to take Maaser Rishon from it. Oz Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva went, ahadri l'pischa de bekivri. He went, and he somehow maneuvered the entrance so that it should open up to a Beis HaKfaris. So the only way to be able to get there would be through a Beis HaKfaris. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ended up losing out. So Rabbi Akiva l'shitasa, he held Maaser Rishon only goes to a Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, and he was collecting Maaser Rishon. Rabbi Akiva wasn't happy about that, so he said, I'm going to make sure he doesn't get it anymore. So he closes off the other entrance. Now the only way to get through is by going through this Beis HaKfaris. It wasn't a gay. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Omar, he said, Akiva betarmila v'anochai. He says, Akiva, you can still walk around with the sack that the shepherds used to walk with. I'm still going to be okay. And what's the rest of the story? So Rashi tells us, Akiva b'tarmiloi means, because Rabbi Akiva was raya de Kalbo Savua Hava. He was once the shepherd of Kalbo Savua. So he was telling him, he used to be a shepherd. To be a shepherd wasn't such a lucrative geschäft. So he told him, you were once a shepherd. So he was like telling him, I hear. Very nice, you're walking around with your shepherd sack. But Blas ben Azariah, we know, was an Oysher Muflik. The Gemara says that the Maisa Behemah that he used to give every year was 120,000 agolim. That was just his taxes that he used to pay. So he was a tremendous guy, and that's what he was trying to tell him. He says, Akiva b'tarmila, I hear what you're saying, but v'anochai, he said, as far as I'm good, I can live, I'll be able to get by without having my Maisa Rishon exhale. So as it relates to Raid, just to go back to yesterday's raid and really speak out, Be'inyin Psul Cholol V'Chalala, part 2. So yesterday, we did a deep dive, foundational raid, foundational lumdis, in terms of understanding a little bit better the nature of the Psul Cholol and the nature of the Psul Chalala. So first, let's just redefine. What is a Cholol and what is a Chalala? A Cholol is a child that's born to a father that's a Kohen, and to a mother that the Kohen was not allowed to marry. So a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Zayna, a Chalala, a Kohen Gadol's not allowed to marry an Amana. In the event that they had a baby boy, that child is going to be a Chalala. What's a Chalala? A Chalala can happen and come about in one of two ways. Either that same Kohen married the Grusha, the Chalala, the Zayna, the Kohen Gadol married the Amana and gave birth not to a boy, to a girl. She'll be the female version. She's going to be the Chalala. Another way that a woman could become a Chalala is in the event that a woman is Nivala to a Kohen, where it was in a Surebiya. So a Grusha, for example, was Nivala to a Kohen. This Grusha now is going to be considered a Chalala. We mentioned that the Lashon HaRambam in Perek Yutes Hilchas Yisurebiya and in Perek Zayin Hilchas Trumas is that a Cholol is Harehu Kizar. He's like Kizar. And it's Bein Lekula, it's Bein Lechumra. It's Lekula, a Cholol is the lad be Metamala Mason. He's a lad to marry a Grusha. It's also Lechumra, he's not allowed to Truma. He's not allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But a Cholol is like a Zar. L'shoinoi Hazav Shal HaRambam. We also mentioned that the Makar to this Rambam are Gemaras and Shas, most notably the Lashon HaGemara Masechtas Yevamos Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, as it relates to the Chalala, Lav Zaroi De'aharon, that the Chalala is not Zaroi De'aharon. Similar Lashon HaGemara Masechtas Kedushin Daf Samech Vavam and Aleph, the story with Yanai HaMelech, where the Gemara says it was a Zokein who wasn't happy with the fact that Yanai thought he was the Kohen Gadol, so he told him, it's enough that you have Keser Malchus, Hanach, leave the Keser Kohuna, Lizari Shalahar. Now, what was wrong with Yanai HaMelech? He was a Cholol. So you see that the Cholol was not considered Zari Shalahar. And that's the Pashup Shad in the Lashon HaRambam, and Azayiz Mavur very clearly in different Gemaras. But we spoke out yesterday from Reb Chaim in Chedushi, Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi al HaRambam, Perik Yizayin Hilchas Yisurei Biyah, where Reb Chaim said that there's really a second din. In other words, it's true that a Cholol is Miloshen Chilol. It was nischalal on some level his kahuna. And the geder of a cholol is that hareo kazar. But really there's a second din that every single cholol and cholola has, and that is that there's a psul, a pgam called cholol and a pgam called cholola. Just like there's something called mamzer and there's something called zayna, there's also a toyar. There is a status that a person can have that this person is a cholol and this person is a cholola. Meaning it's true that every cholol loses on some level his kahuna, but at the same time, there's also a positive psul that's chal on the cholol and the chalala, and the name of that psul is cholol and chalala, respectively. Reb Chaim's raya was because you find that even a Yisraelis, a Zara, could become a chalala. Because we said there's one way to become a cholol, but there are two ways to become a chalala: either a girl that's born to a psule kahuna, or a woman that was nivala to a kayin. So if you have a Grusha who's a Bas Yisrael and she was nivala to a kayin, she's now going to become a chalala. So Reb Chaim said, if the whole psul of chalala is that you're being mechalal my kahuna, so you have to have the kedusha in order for it to be in ischal. It's like saying somebody was mechalal Tuesday. You can be mechalal Shabbos because Shabbos has kedusha, but you can't be mechalal Tuesday. So Reb Chaim said, how could a Yisraelis be nischalal? It doesn't make sense. Bal Karchach said Reb Chaim, must be there's a second din. There's a psul chalal. There's a psul chalal, and that psul chalal and that psul chalala is something that shayich even to Yisrael. And Reb Chaim went on and he spoke at a whole bunch of different afkuminis, a long piece, and Reb Chaim and Sefer, we shtal the tzud to the Ritva and Makis Daf Beis, and the Ritva and Makis Yevamis Daf Memhei, where it's Mavur, that the Ritva also held that it's possible to have a man, a Zachar, Yisrael, that's going to have a Psul Chalom, Eden Anubish, Plainush, and Bengarushim, and Chalutza. We shtal the tzud to Reb Chaim, but that was all yesterday's way. But I'll kopon him. What came out from yesterday is that there's two dinim in the psul chalal, two dinim in the psul chalal. Number one, that a chal and a chalala are like zarim. There's a chil on some level in the kahuna. And number two, there's also a positive psul. There's a psul called chalal, there's a psul called chalala, similar to there being a psul called mamzer and a psul called mamzeres. But there's another knech, and really there's another oimek in the psul chalal and chalala. Again, this is foundational, no grace of chedushim, that I think needs to be spoken out, la shlomas ha'inyan. And that is, we learned a lot in Perek Oral about the Petsua Daka. And there was a Gemara on Daf Ayin Vavam Aleph, where the Gemara said, Bo minei Rav Sheshes, the Talmidim asked Rav Sheshes, Petsua Daka koyen, mau b'giyoyres u'mishuchreres. A koyen that's a Petsua Daka, is he allowed to marry a giyoyres? Or is he not allowed to marry a giyoyres? A giyoyres, a koyen is not allowed to marry, and the reason is because every giyoyres is b'cheska zoyin. The question then is, a p'tzua daka koyen, can he or can he not? What was the shayla? B'kdusha say koyen v'aser. Do we say that even though the koyen is a p'tzua daka, but he still has kedushas kuna, so if he has kedushas kuna, so he's not allowed to marry a zoyna. Oy dilma la b'kdusha say koyen. Or maybe he loses his kedusha because he's a p'tzua daka. A p'tzua daka is lo yoveh b'kal Hashem, so you can hear why he would lose his kedusha. And if he loses his kedusha, so then v'shari that it's going to be mutter for him to marry this giyoyres. That was the shayla that the Gemara asked. So, boy, my name is Rav Sheshes. What's the halacha related to a p'tzua daka koyin? The halacha, the Rambam brings, lemaisa, that a p'tzua daka koyin is lav b'kdushas a koyin, and the halacha is, he's allowed to marry a giyoyres and a mishuchreres, and by the way, a grusha and a chalala for that matter, he doesn't have this psal. Why? Because a p'tzua daka, being that he's also loved by Kal Hashem, so he loses his status, and included in losing his status is, he's going to lose his kedusha as well. The chalkas mechoykik and other achroinim ask a bomba kasha on this gemara. That's from the Mishnah, in the beginning of Perek Oral, the Mishnah said that p'tzua daka krushivcha, if you have a p'tzua daka krushivcha, they're koyhanim, hein va'avdeim yoichlu, them and their avadim are allowed to eat truma, u'nasheim lo yoichlu. However, their wives are not allowed to eat truma. They could eat truma because why not? Their wives can't eat truma because being the loyove p'tzua daka become Hashem. So it comes out that if they're living together with their wives are going to become chalala. Chalala is not allowed to eat truma. But the Mishnah says clearly that a p'tzua daka koyin is allowed to eat truma. So freak the chalkas mechoikik, it's a pal. How do you reconcile these two sugyas? Boy, my name is Rav Sheshes, p'tzua daka koyein, mau b'giyoyres. And the Gemara came out loud, b'kdushas koy, that he's muta b'giyoyres, which means that a p'tzua daka koyein loses his k'tusha. So if he loses his k'tusha, how could he eat truma? And what was even the shayla in the Gemara? How could the Gemara have gotten up and ayivavim and aleph and klerda chakira? Could a p'tzua daka koyein eat truma? Could he not eat truma? Could he marry a giyoyres and not marry a giyoyres? Of course, l'chayra, he can't. If he can eat truma, that means he's b'kdushas koy. So it's a pella. On the one end, you find that the p'tzua daka koyin doesn't have kedusha. He's allowed to marry all the p'sulei kuna. But then again, you see, he does have kedusha, that he's allowed to eat truma. L'chayra mamanav shach. If he has kedusha that he can eat truma, then he should be also in the p'sulei kuna. And if he's mutter in the p'sulei kuna, that means he has no kedusha. And if he has no kedusha, he shouldn't be able to eat truma. So the Chalkas Mechoikik says, and really the Achroinim say, that it's mavur from this kasha, a tremendous yesoid. And that is, that really every single Kohen has a right to eat truma for two reasons. Number one, a Kohen has a right to eat truma, val erzdach a Kohen. I'm a Kohen, so if I'm a Kohen, I'm allowed to eat truma. But v'oid, every single Kohen is allowed to eat truma because his father's a Kohen. And being that your father's a Kayan, you're Yalid Beisai of a Kayan, Yalid Beisai of a Kayan is also a Svara for you to be able to eat Truma. And the emes is, if you think about it in Svara, it's very, very logical. A Bas Kayan's allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because she's Yalid Beisai of her father. The Evet Knani and the Shifcha Knanis of a Kayan are allowed to eat Truma. The behema of a kohen is allowed to eat truma, so why would the son of a kohen be any different? So the truth is that every single kohen has two bechinas, two dinim, two sibos why he should be allowed to eat truma. Number one, he's allowed to eat truma because he has a schus atzmi, and number two, he should be allowed to eat truma because he is the son of a kohen. And being that his father, the kohen, has the ability to give him a right to eat, being that his father's eating truma, so he's no different than the daughter, he's no different than the evan and the shifchan, the behemoth maybe, kinyan kaspoy, the wife, and the bottom line is, he too would be able to eat truma. One of the achronim that say this, he says, Rmei Simcha. Rmei Simcha in a Meshech Chachma, Parshas Korach. So the pasuk over there, it's one of the many psukim that talk about the mitzvah of truma. And it says in the pasuk, Vizeh l'cha trumas matanam, l'cha tenufes b'nei Yisrael, l'cha nesatim ulevanecha, v'levnoisecha, idcha l'cha g'olam, kol tor beveischa yoichal oisnoi. So the pasuk says, kol tor beveischa yoichal oisnoi. And the question is, what's that pasuk coming to be marba? Zokr Meir Simcha, Kedarka, he says drasha sometimes, that maybe what this pasuk was coming to say, it was coming to be married with Pinchas. Pinchas himself. This is in Parashas Korach, and at that time, Pinchas was not a kohen. And the reason Pinchas was not a kohen at that time is because Pinchas wasn't a skyin, the chalik is in the Gemara, when? Either after the Maaseh with Zimri, some say it happened even years later, but at that time, he for sure wasn't a kohen. And because he wasn't a kohen, and really there were a lot of people then that weren't kohanim, because all the kohanim that were born to fathers kohanim, but whose fathers weren't kohanim at the time that they were born, they were really not kohanim. You needed Mashiach in order to become a kohen. So Pinchas, the classic example, was not a kohen at that point. And because he wasn't a kohen, you could have thought, maybe he's not allowed to eat truma. Mechtes he should eat truma. So Rav Meir Simcha says, that's what the pasuk means, kol tor beveischa yoichal oisai. Yitochen, says Rav Meir Simcha, yitochen, leman do amad lein eskayim Pinchas, until years later, im kein komach a Pinchas yoichal chaz of a shoy. Gam bikurim, he says, kus kivin she b'noisav oichlim, if the daughter's allowed to eat, so can Yoichlu Pinchas Ubanov? Why should Pinchas be any different than a daughter? So like this will also be able to eat. This var. It's mavur, this yisoid, that a kohen's allowed to eat really for two reasons. Number one, the kohen's allowed to eat because Er Alein's a kohen. And number two, a kohen's allowed to eat because he's the son of a kohen. And that also gives him a right to be able. So zok techelkes mechoykek, that yesh loimar. A petzua daka loses his ketushas kohuna. And as a result, that's the gemara I involve. That up to a doctor is labik tushas ikoy, and that's why he's mutabig yoyres. He's la marry a zoy, he's la marry a grusha. The reason is because he loses his kedusha. I isn't in a mafurisha mishnah. The mishnah says p'tzu adaka hein vavodav are allowed to eat. The Torah says yeah, he's allowed to eat because at the end of the day he's loy gara from any ben koyin. He's loy gara from a bas koyin. Alts the yalid beisay shaboy. That's why he'd be able to eat truma. But enochanam he's not eating truma. Alts the fact that he has his own schus to eat truma. Alts schus atzmi alts kedusha that he wouldn't be able to eat. He's not eating alts kedusha. He's eating else he would base a kayin, and because he would base a kayin, that's something that he'd be able to eat. Lechura, lefize, daf min shtelen a chayra very stark kasha. That is a cholol is not ready truma. Why is a chol not ready truma? Because nischalal kedushasai. Because he was nischalal, therefore he's not ready truma. He's a zar, even as a psul cholol. But the bottom line is a chol is not ready truma. Lechayr it's a pella. Why can't a zar eat truma? He should be able to eat truma. Als the chelkas machaik second din. Als at the end of the day, he's the son of a kohen. Als the meshachachma. Why is he worse than Pinchas? Meaning, if we're telling and we're spim mechadish that there's a new din, there's a new halacha that a petzua daka, even though mitzad kedushas atzma, he wouldn't be able to eat truma. But he's like Gara from any Ben Kayin, and else Ben Kayin is a lady truma. So Lechura, if that's the case, why don't we say the same thing about a Cholol? Why don't we say that every single Cholol, even though he doesn't have a Schus Atzmi to be able to eat, but else his father should be able to eat? Lechura, it's a very, very shver kasha. What's the difference between the Ptzua Daka and the Cholol? The Ptzua Daka doesn't have Ketushas Atzmi. The Haraya is Muta Bezoina. Afal Pikin, he can eat truma. Why? Else the Mishpacha. Else the Mishpacha. So Lechayr, why is he any different? At the end of the day, it's fine. He lost his Kedusha. Beseder. Let him be mutter to a Zoyna. Let him be mutter to a Gerusha. Let him be mutter to a Chalala. But Lechayr, else Mishpacha, else Yichus. Else this Meshachachm and Parashas Kairach. Else the Chalkas Machaikik. Else that thing he should be able to eat shum. Lechayr, it's a starke kasha. Oh, but the Teretz is Pashit. The teretz is, what's the Lashon HaGemara Masechtas Yevamos? The Gemara says, Chalala lav zaroi de'aharni. What was the Lashon HaGemara Kedushin Daf Samech Vav? Leave the Kesek Kohuna lezaroi de'aharni. The Lashon HaGemara was not that it's simply neschalo the Kedusha. The Chiddush of a Chalal is that he loses all yichos. He's not even zaroi shel aharon. He's not someone that could trace his ancestry all the way back to Aharon HaKohen. Technically he could, but because he's a chol, he gets whacked off, and he has no yichus. He has no yichus. It's a concept sometimes when mafker a person's yichus, right? You find it by avadim, or by any yehudim. There's such a concept, but that's what's happening over here: is the chol loses his yichus from zarei shalaharin. It's not just the chesaron in kedushas kohuna. If it was only kedushas kohuna, so you would say he's like gara from an eved knani who doesn't have kedushas kohuna, but al tkinya kaspi is allowed to eat truma. So l'chayr, why should he be able to eat truma either? The teretz is it's a chesaron. It's a hafka in the zarish al aharin, in his yichus from aharin, and that's the oimek of a cholol. A cholol is number one. It's nischalol. It's miloshin chil kedusha. It's nischalol. It's kedusha. Reb Chaim, that a cholol is someone that has a psul. There's a chaloshem psul that's chal on the cholol, and va'oid on a deeper level. It's really the deeper understanding of the first side, and that is every single cholol is also lav zarish al aharin. So any schus that he would have out being zarish, forget about kedushas kohuna. Kedushas kohuna zicha doesn't have, but even out being zarish al aharin, even that's something that he wouldn't have. Again, just to clarify and understand a little bit better what the psul of a cholol and a cholol is.